Hey, good morning, Sower Nation. It is Wednesday, July the 15th in the year of our Lord 2026. I'm John David Walt, and this is your wake-up call coming to you live from Gillette, Arkansas and the Seed House. And so happy to be just getting to meet with you and Jesus together every morning now. So we're in Mark's gospel, but before we go there, let's enter in by way of consecration. Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you, and we're praying in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, today's entry is entitled, Who Needs the Weather Channel When You've Got Jesus? And our text is Mark chapter 4. I want you to read the whole chapter. Remember, we're going to read these 16 chapters of Mark, roughly 16 days in a row. But there's grace because we're doing Holy Spirit stories on Saturdays. We're taking Sundays off. We're going Chick-fil-A on Sundays, and we're just doing these entries 5 days a week, which feels like just cake to me. It's good. Our text is Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 41. So hear now the word of the Lord. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was, in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat, so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." The word of the Lord. Now consider this. Who does that? He doesn't run for cover, as though that could be done in a boat. He speaks to the storm. In fact, he speaks to the storm in the same way he will soon be speaking to demons, sternly. Quiet. Be still. I remember some years back, I was part of a weekend outdoor gathering of college students in North Texas. It was a solemn assembly. It was one day, in fact. This goes back more than a few years, back to like 23 or 2003 or 4. It was one day, the second gathering. My friend Louis Giglio was leading that, Louis and Shelley, and of course, Chris Tomlin. All our friends were involved in it. But on the first night of that gathering, a massive storm blew in. Now, this was camping, okay? Like, there's probably 30,000, 40,000 college students camping out on the hillsides. And that storm definitely was in the tradition of, quote, a furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. That was the way that storm felt. I myself had been charged with pastoral leadership of the team of speakers and worship leaders who would be leading the gathering. I was the pastor to the leaders. And of course, I mentioned there were about 30,000 college students camping in tents. That would be the next worst thing to being in a boat in the midst of such a storm. Lightning was popping all around us. We were frantic. I gathered the leaders close and reminded them of Jesus calming the storm, and I urged us together to go for it. And we did. I've never spoken so sternly to a storm before or since. And to my and the group's chagrin, the storm only worsened. You thought I was going to say that the whole thing just dissipated. Nope. Didn't happen. In fact, a couple of kids were struck by lightning that night. And miraculously, their lives were spared. So maybe we did some good, but it was traumatic. The bottom line, though, we failed miserably in our role as storm stillers. So in response to Jesus' three-word command, we get this response. Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. So what's the big difference in these two scenarios? Besides the fact that Jesus is God and we were not, you know by now that I am convinced that as it was with Jesus, so it is with his followers. I do believe it is possible for a human being filled with the Holy Spirit to take authority, even over the weather, and command it to cease. Okay, I've never seen it happen, but I still hold out the possibility. I believe. Now, upon further reflection on this story, I have another insight I'll run by you. For my money, the big miracle that night was not that Jesus stilled the storm. The big miracle was that Jesus remained unflinchingly still in the midst of the storm. It's actually better than that. In the face of a furious and obviously life-threatening storm, Mark gives us this tidbit. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. Oh my gosh, he was committed to that nap. He had a cushion. Looking back on that stormy night in Texas, one of the big differences between our group and Jesus was that we were absolutely frantic. Jesus was unfazed by the storm, so much that he could have slept right through it. In fact, he did. And that, my friends, is what they call peace like a river. What if it's our quality of peace within the storm that determines the capacity of our faith to calm the storm? If I'm honest, in the face of life's many storms, I'm typically not napping. I'm doing my best to keep the lid on my anxiety. Maybe that's why the Holy Spirit inspired Paul to instruct us, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, right? Present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I don't know why I left that full verse out in the text today. Maybe I can go back and get this worked out, but I thank God I happen to know it. Peace is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Love. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. The Holy Spirit was Jesus' peace. Not only beyond understanding, but beyond measure. And He will do the same thing in us, right? If Jesus is the peace of God and Jesus is in us, we carry the peace of God. In fact, the peace of God carries us. We may never enjoy the opportunity to calm a hurricane, but in the midst of a furious squall like cancer or divorce or some other tragic circumstance, we may find it's the Holy Spirit empowered stillness of our spirit that calms the winds and raises the faith of everyone in the boat around us. I'm talking to you right now. You know I'm talking to you and what you're dealing with. In the midst of that difficult thing you're in, say, come Holy Spirit, peace of God, hold me. And you'll find that not only will He hold you, He'll start holding others around you. It's amazing. It's what He does. I know people like that. A lot of you. That's who you are. That's who you're becoming, many of you. You know these people too. Let's become one of them. Fix in your mind's eye the image of Jesus sleeping in the midst of that furious squall. It's like that moment. You know, I keep doing this on the video. You can see it, but I'm telling you what I'm doing. I'm putting my hand on my chin, just like it were Jesus, and just tilting my head a little to the right. It's like I'm looking at the waves this way, but when I tilt to the right, guess what I see? I see Jesus curled up in the stern of the boat, pulling that cushion right under His head and sleeping like there's no tomorrow. That's the little shift. I want you to ask the Holy Spirit to raise your faith to the level of that possibility. Now let's sing. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. We're praying, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me and melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Amen. Journal prompts. What do you think lies and lives behind the anxiety in your life? What is its source? It's a good question to ask Jesus. Have your pencil or pen ready with your journal. Say, Jesus, what do you want me to know about my anxiety and what's behind it? You may be surprised. You will be surprised at what He might say. Just capture it. You don't got to fix it. We're letting Him lead an exploration of our soul. And then what might it look like for you to start dealing with that anxiety at a new level, at a Jesus level? What might it look like to bring Him into it in a new way? All right, Dad's here today, and we're ready to sing. We got to dive right in. It's going to be good. So, all right, it's Wednesday, and it's another day that's going to be a good day because we got Dad with us.
Amen.
And
I better straighten up.
You sit up straight now. Come on, let's get up here where we can see you.
Okay.
But, you know, it's just a blessing, Dad, to have you here and to get to sing these songs.
Well, it's a blessing to me, And I certainly appreciate
it. I never knew that I would be moving to Gillette.
We didn't either.
This has been a surprise. We just crossed over Sunday, the third year of being
but
here.
But, you know, Gillette was a place you hear of, but never go there.
You don't go there. But we do now.
Yeah.
You know, Dad, that almost every Sunday, someone from the Wake Up Call comes to our church in Gillette.
Is that right?
It's amazing. And most of them coming to meet you.
I better start being there.
You're there every Sunday. I mean, what a joy it is for me. You know, I left Arkansas over 30 years ago.
That's hard to believe, isn't
it? And now I'm back, and I get to be in the same church as you and Mom.
Mm-hmm.
And I look out there, and you're right there on the right side.
Right.
And yep. I think, what a blessing. And
it's a blessing for us, too.
And then the fact that we get to do these songs together
right.
for the yeah. wake-up call.
Yeah, that's added.
It's just a bonus.
Yeah.
So who knew? Jesus knew. And we're going to sing a song today. In our wake-up call today, we dealt with the story. I believe it may be Mark chapter 4, if I'm remembering right. But I know the story is Jesus calming the storm. And those disciples, they were convinced they were about to die.
They were scared to death.
And do you know what Jesus was doing while they were about to, they thought they were going to die? He was sleeping in the boat.
He was not worried about nothing.
He was asleep. The Bible tells us he brought a cushion. That just tells me he was committed to the nap.
Right.
He was sleeping in the boat, and, you know, a lot of people that are listening right now, and certainly a lot of people that aren't listening that we know in our worlds are facing storms,
mm-hmm.
squalls, wind,
right.
and waves, and waters coming over the side, and they're like, we're going to drown. We don't know if we're going to make it, but we're here to say that who's in the boat with them?
Jesus Christ.
He's in the boat with you. And it might just be the moment for you to go over and say, Jesus, could you wake up and help us? He doesn't mind that. That's what prayer is, saying, Jesus, could you come over here and help us with this?
Yeah.
And Jesus wants to bring us into his peace.
Right.
We don't need to be afraid, even though things are fearful.
That's right.
We don't need to have anxiety, even though things can be anxious. It's okay. Where are we going to sing today? Tell them what we're singing.
Be Still My Soul.
What's our number?
346.
This is a great song. What's our hymnal?
Our Great Redeemer's Praise.
Okay. We're going to sing Be Still My Soul. And sometimes a hymn, a lot of hymns you're singing to God. Sometimes you're singing to yourself.
That's right.
This is a song where it says, you're singing to your own soul.
Yeah,
be still, my soul.
You're thinking about it in here.
The Lord is on thy side. Bear patiently the cross of grief or pain. Leave to thy God
mm-hmm.
to order and provide. In every change, he faithful will remain. Well, we're going to sing all three verses, and let's sing them with faith and with confidence and a kind of a deep soul calmness. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Be still, my soul, the Lord is on thy side. Bear patiently the cross of grief or pain. Leave to thy God to order and provide. In every change, he faithful will remain. Be still, my soul. Thy heavenly friend, through thorny ways, leads to a joyful end. Be still, my soul, thy God doth undertake
to guide the nature as each has the past. Thy hope, thy confidence, let nothing blame. All now my fears shall be wrought at last. Be still, my soul, the waves and winds shall know His voice who ruled them while He dwelt below.
Last verse.
Be still, my soul, the hour it's hastening on, when they shall be forever with the Lord. When disappointment, grief, and fear are gone, sorrow forgot, love's purest blood's resort. Be still, my soul, when change and fears are past. All safe and blessed, and we shall meet at last.
That's a word.
That's a good one.
And a lot of people are needing to sing that today.
That's right.
And even more so, there's a lot of people that we're coming across in our lives who need to know that song. And they don't necessarily need to know the words in the hymn. They need to feel it coming out of you.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you've got the stillness of the goodness of God in you, touches other people, doesn't it?
That's right. They see it, and they want it.
They know it when they see it.
That's right.
It's why Jesus, He's always moving through you to another person.
Mm-hmm.
He comes to you, and then He moves through you. And He does it. You just have to show up.
Yeah, we've got to be ready.
Pay attention. This song is readying us for the fields today. All right, Dad, it's time to let them go. For The Awakening, I'm J.D. Walt.
And I'm David Walt.
We'll see you
on the field.
See you on the field.